Welcome to Mercersburg Mennonite Church. If you haven't heard or figured out yet, next Sunday is communion because I wanted to share the scripture that I want actually everybody to be reading as we prepare for communion service. The scripture I was planning to read this Sunday was Galatians 6, 1 through 10, but after reading it and starting to prepare my message, I realized, no, that's for next week. And then as I was prayerfully considering this Sunday and everything we were talking about, I've decided that I'd like for us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It is page 934 in the Bibles that are in the pew. And there's a reason why I read this particular passage. Yes, as we start reading it, you will probably say, I think I hear a lot of television evangelists use these scriptures. And I've actually heard a story of a son asked his father, why aren't we going to church? And when are we going to go back? He says, when they stop asking for money. And it seems like there could be a bad taste in people's mouths because of this. But I want you to think about what we're talking about this morning. We had the offering video of the Oil Change Ministry. Jerry and Caden and Lindsay and Roseanne are going to get up and share about their trip with Work Team Partners. Dave and Jewel are going to get up and share. And I would just say we're sharing as partnering, as sister churches working at fulfilling the calling, the kingdom building together. And I think this scripture really fits that. And then John Pocket will get up and share with us an update on their Cambodia missions that they're going to be heading to and where the update on that. And so it could just feel like you're just asking for a lot of money. But what does the Word of God say about this? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. I really don't need to write to you about the ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. For I know how eager you are to help, and I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. But I am sending these brothers to be sure you really are ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We would be embarrassed, not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after all. I told them. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others, as the scripture says. They share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seeds for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from the ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for his gift, too wonderful for words. The first thing I notice in this is he says, I want to make sure you don't procrastinate, right? Proverbs says, many words bring poverty, hard work brings prosperity. Too many times we talk about what we're going to do. Paul says, I need you to follow through with what you said you're going to do. But also he talks about, here we kind of have that, if you give a little, you're going to receive a little, right? This is the evangelism type, you know, oh, but give. Here's the point out of this. What has God set in your heart to give? Because remember that woman that only gave less than a penny, basically a drop in the ocean. Jesus said she gave more. The ministry of giving, I think what happens too many times is I see Matthew 7 come in. Matthew 7, for those that aren't aware, is where many will say, Lord, Lord, we did all these great things in your name. And he says, away from me, you didn't do the will of my Father. I feel that too many times when we get into the ministry of giving, we start looking down on people. We start having an arrogant, like, look how we're helping. And I want us to actually think about when we give, we are giving to serve because we're walking with one another and that God is to be glorified through this. As we walk with the churches and walk and give for the ministry of the oil ministry change or the oil changing ministry, New Birth Christian School, John and Jeanette going to Cambodia, and there are plenty more other things that we're going to talk about as the days come ahead. July is actually going to be a pretty strong missionary focused. I want us to stop thinking about how we are and how God is using us and that we are in this together as a church with the body of believers and that we aren't in any way important. Matter of fact, read Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 10. In there, Apostle Paul says, you're not as important as you think you are. Roseanne, Jerry, Lindsay, and Caden come and share. And then Dave and Joel will share. And then John will come up and give us an update. Jerry, I think you're first, so.
I told First Service that, seriously, if you would question me about my experience in the Dominican, anywhere outside of these four walls, I will talk your ear off, more than likely, but put a mic in front of me and it changes everything. The nerves show up. But anyway, this past January, I had the privilege of traveling with work team partners to the Dominican Republic for the first time. I was excited to go and experience firsthand what the rest of my family had experienced the last couple years. Kylie, Caden, and Dustin had all been serving with the opportunity to serve with work teams several times in the past, so it was nice to put faces to names, to see some of their pictures in real life. So I was excited about that, but as the travel time approached, I became hesitant and wasn't really sure I wanted to go, and I was willing to give up my spot on the team for someone that was more qualified. I don't know what those qualifications were, but someone else had to have more than me. But I just felt really insignificant in what I had to offer to the people in the Dominican Republic, what I had to offer to the team through work team partners. I'm not young, I'm kind of out of shape-ish, and my Spanish is not what it was 25 years ago. So I really just felt less than in the moment, but commitment is commitment, and I boarded that plane anyway, and we went to the Dominican. We got there, and we were told that this work team was going to be different than years past. There weren't new houses being built. We weren't building additions onto houses. No major work projects were going to take place, but we were going to pour concrete and build a perimeter wall, and we were going to be with the people. Some of us ladies spent a few days at the beginning of our time there painting at both of the elementary school and the high schools, and that was in my wheelhouse. I could paint, and so I felt like I was doing something productive, but it just didn't seem like very much. The evening, though, of our fifth travel day, we went to visit La Maita. And for those of you that don't know, La Maita is a little village outside of Los Toros. David and Jewel have been spending some time there over the last several years. Just in being in relationship with the people, helping them, working with them, feeding them, worshiping with them. However, there was no real infrastructure in this community, and they really didn't have a lot of resources. So as the resources started to wear out or run out, the people started to leave La Maita and go to other villages, go back with family. There were homes that were abandoned. There were families that were missing people because they had left and not come back. So I stood at the top of this hill, and I remember looking down over this village and thinking, wow, these people are not in the same circumstances that they were like 8 years ago when Dustin was there, and it was the first year they went to La Maita, and so much has changed, but yet not so much at all. And I just remember thinking how little I had to give these people who really just needed so much. I literally left with one suitcase and I had nothing to give. But I was reminded of the story of Hagar while we were there. I was, like I said, looking down over the village and just kind of praying and kind of just talking to God and like, you know, what am I supposed to give these people? What am I supposed to do? What do I have to offer? And I was reminded of Hagar, and in the story of Hagar, she leaves Abram and Sarai, and she goes. She doesn't like her situation. She's unhappy. She's fearful, maybe. She feels insignificant. She feels abandoned, perhaps. But she went, and she cried out to God. And in verse 13, she called the Lord who spoke to her, the God who sees. For she said, in this place, have I actually seen the one who sees me? And I was reminded of Elroy, the name of the Lord, the God who sees. And I thought, yeah, you see me. You see me here in my weaknesses. You see me in all of my insignificance. And you see these people, and you know their heart. You know their needs. And it's not insignificant, and it's not forgotten. I was just kind of in awe of the fact that the God who looks after me cares enough to provide and to count the hairs on our head even. He sees the people of La Maita. He sees the work team efforts. He sees David and Jewel and their desire and obedience to serve these people. And it's not unnoticed and it's not unrecognized by God. And so I was just reminded that there's nothing insignificant about being the hands and feet of Jesus. And it's not as much about what you bring to the table or what you have to offer, but the fact that you're willing to just go.
Good morning. Oh my gosh, there's a lot more people than first service. I'm not going to look at any of you. When Dave asked me to share a while back, I said yes with no hesitation, thinking it would be an easy thing to share and reflect with all of you about the most heartwarming trip that all of us gone on. Little did I know just how challenging it actually would be. Challenging because God worked in so many different ways over our 10 days in Los Toros, it's hard to pick just one. I'm going to start off by reading 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. This verse stuck out to me because I feel like it's a perfect example to explain the Dominicans' mindsets. Everything they do with competitiveness, especially in their sports. If you've gone, you know. They are loud and proud in all that they do. They don't care about not having much. They might not even realize that they lack what they lack compared to the rest of us, but they train and discipline themselves each and every day to worship the Lord and give thanks for what they do have. Traveling to the Dominican and being able to experience the things we did are so eye-opening. I realize that you don't need to have a lot to have a full heart. So even though I kept this short and sweet, I want to leave everyone with a small and broad challenge. Treat every day like it's a race and fight every battle until you win, no matter how big or how small. And remember, every run you make has a purpose.
Good morning. I'm going to talk a little bit about one of the days we were there. So if you've been on the trip, you know the schedule is pretty much the same for all the trips, but I'm going to talk about Sundays. So the mornings are typically reserved for a time of sharing with the team at David and Joel's house, because the church meets at the, they meet at the church. And because of the language barrier, it makes it a little difficult for the people on the team. So we all meet at David and Joel's to have a time of sharing and devotion and breakfast. So as tradition would have it, the men on the trip make the breakfast, which consists of pancakes, which in our case was probably the biggest pancakes I've ever had. After we finished eating, we had a time where everyone would share something from the trip, whether it was about the trip, how they've seen God work, or what they've seen in his creation. And during this time, I was reminded that the church is not just a building. And as it's stated in Matthew 18:20, for where two or three are gathered, as my followers, I am there among them. The church is not just a body of believers gathered, The church is a body of believers not gathering together to worship the one true King. No matter the language or location, we all serve the same God. There are a lot of familiar faces in Los Toros. I enjoy seeing and reconnecting with them each time I go. Although the goodbyes become harder each time we leave, I take comfort in knowing that God has big plans for the people in and around Los Toros. And also, thanks to technology, I can communicate with some of them through social media, knowing they are only a text away.
Good morning from here, too. Just the part of me wants to just sum up what they've said. You know, we've learned that we're all significant. We each have a race to run, and we're a body of believers. And so I'm going to focus on what does it look like to partner with a sister church and ministry in Los Toros. So what do you think of a partnership? What's in a partnership? What do you think of that word? I think of working together, having a common goal or mission, being in communication with both sides. One definition that Webster uses, I had to look it up, was the state of being a partner or one associated with another, especially in an action. So in the business world, a partnership would be like a formal agreement by two or more parties to manage and operate a business and to share its profits. So let's combine all of those definitions all in one, and that's what I think of when I think of a partnership between our church and the ministry in Los Toros. As believers in Christ and members of our church and attendees here, we're partners with New Birth Christian School and the church in Los Toros. We're associated with our fellow believers in action, monetarily, physically, with doing work trips, and material-wise, with donating materials to the school and helping out as we can. I've been to Los Toros previously. It was about 6 years ago was my last trip, so returning to see and seeing the growth and progress that has happened over the years was really exciting. And it was, I thought many times, man, that wasn't how it was the last time I was here. That looks so different. There's not as much, it's more modernized, not like we would think modernized, but it's definitely compared to what it was before. So as I ponder what it looks like to partner with a sister church, the words from our mission statement here at church come to mind. Being real with God, real with each other, and real with the world. And really, that statement is applicable in Los Toros just as much as it is applicable here. We're really not that much different. So looking at being real with God, is where it starts. Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith. How much more real is it than to completely put my faith in God, the one who sees, knows, plans, orchestrates, opens, closes, protects, and guides when I can't see all that he does because he's God. The journey to where things are today at New Birth Christian School has been one of complete faith, as I see it. Going back to way back when Jewel felt the call in God's in her life from God back in high school to go do missions work. Each leg of the journey to where they're at now has been a step of faith. Moving to the Dominican Republic, a youth group trip going there years ago, the birth of Work Team Partners, beginning a church school and adding one grade after another each year. That is a step of faith. The ministry or work has shifted and changed or changed over the years, but faith and trust in God, the one who never changes, has not. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed." And I'd say the step of faith continues. There are teacher needs each year. I know that's something that Jewel struggles with. Like, let's find, it's a step of faith. We're going to keep going, Lord. You're going to provide. There's financial needs. There's expansion of buildings and facilities that are needed. But just look back and reflect at what God has done and what he will continue to do. So I ask, do you and I trust God? Do we walk in faith, looking back at his faithfulness in the past and yet trusting in his faithfulness for the future? So we're real with God as we and as believers in Christ, we're walking on the same journey, even though there's miles between us. Second part of our mission statement is real with each other. While the pace of life in Los Toldos is much slower than ours here, and actually it's a welcome respite from the busyness of our culture. And as Jerry had mentioned, we got there and there wasn't really a whole lot to do, but relating to people can be work. Just talking with people that's the whole heartbeat, I feel, of Work Team Partners, is to relate to not just to your team, but to relate to the community and the people who live in the Dominican Republic. I was talking with a youth girl there, Janaldi. She's very good. Actually, her English is very, very good. And she wanted to practice. So we just stood out there and we were maybe just not helping as much as we were holding a stick as they were pouring the concrete. you know, a stick. Yeah, Tim knows about that there and Kevin too. But I was just talking. She enjoys meeting people and talking with people. That's her heartbeat. And I asked her about making rice because you do get a lot of rice. And I was like, well, I have to learn the tricks of making rice. And so she told me the steps of how to do it and did well. I came home and I made it and it tasted pretty good. I mean, it's not as authentic as what she would have done, but it's still, I was kind of happy with the results. But that took time. You know, when we're real with each other, we take time to listen, to talk, to encourage, and to be encouraged. In our culture, it's more performance-based. Let's do this. Here's your quota that you have to meet, and we work at doing that. But do we take the time to relate to each other and be real with them? Walking, literally, for a mile in the shoes that we were in, their shoes down there, provided a golden opportunity to experience, to observe, to listen, and also to work. There was one of the streets that we walked on a lot from where we stayed to the high school. Jerry and I paced that road a lot. Well, actually, we all did, but on one of our trips back and forth there, we did laundry a couple times for the team. There was a lady who was taking care of her home and all of her plants outside, and it was beautiful. So we stopped and we just chatted with her. Her English wasn't too bad, but it was just, again, being real with the world around us and taking the time to just talk, even though I didn't know her, but we had a connection because we both enjoyed gardening. So how can you be real with someone unless you take the time to be available for that? We also had a time of being real with celebrations there. We went to church in the evening. And as Lindsay mentioned, it's a body of believers. We worship the same God, the same Father, the same Holy Spirit, even though our languages are different. We worship the same God. We also shared together with a fellowship meal on the last night before we went home, and that was kind of fun to take part of. It's the Mennonite tradition here to have the fellowship meal, but we had the Dominican version of a fellowship meal, and it was fun to be together and celebrate that way. So you're real with God, real with each other, and then real with the world. Being real with the world comes as an outflow of being real with God first. We move, we share, we talk, and relate to others with the confidence of who we are in Christ and who he is. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." So as we're real with God and have our identity in him, we can be ready to give an answer whoever we're meeting with, being real with the world. And in Los Toros, I saw that them reaching out to the unchurched people who are there. La Maita, there's quite a few children from La Maita that come to the school. Some of you may sponsor them. And I think I said wrongly in first service, I think our girl is not from La Maita, but I know there are people who sponsor students from La Maita. And some of the teachers at the school are not, I would say, Christians. Maybe just following Jesus the way that they could be. So they're reaching out. They're being real to the world, just like our challenge here is to being real with the world around us. So are you, am I willing and fulfilling the Great Commission to go, to be real with the world? May we aspire to daily commit to doing so.
Buenos dias. ¿Cómo están?
Hey!
I love it. I love it. I hadn't known when I had prepared for our presentation that we were going to have other people sharing as well, but I thought it was really interesting that the top of my page says community, and how, yes, I have our family picture up there, but how much this year just the support of everybody around has made me realize that we're not alone. It is not just the Reyes family there in the Dominican. We have so much more support, and there's so many of us working together to see these projects fulfilled. And I had decided that I was going to share my testimony with our youth at the youth group night, and it was kind of like Caden when she said, "You think it would be, you know, I can do this." And then when you go to sit down and think about it, I went, "Where do you start? Where do you start? Where did my story with God in my life, with me and God's story, like, where do you begin?" And my dad's here today. He's turning 70, I don't know what time you turn 70 today, but it's his birthday today, and Kevin's here. And I just thought, there's so many people that before me also prepared the way for who I am. And so I had a really hard time deciding what to tell in my testimony, how to keep it short, with all the different things I thought about. So this morning, in reference to that, I just wanted to have those of you who have been to Los Toros or have a family member who has been to Los Toros to stand up, just to prove me right. I just need to be proved right. Anybody who's been to the Dominican in Los Toros or has a family member who has been there, see, I'm not alone. Thank you. I just realized there's so much more going on that when we you know, first started coming, and it was like one or two people and then three people, but it's just grown so much. So all of you are up there too. That's right, I didn't turn it on yet. Might help. They mentioned La Maita, that is still a place that we go and minister to. David and Francisco go there once a week to sit with people, talk about their lives, and shell a bean with them. That is still their income, shelling little cans of beans for... ¿Son 100 pesos? 10 pesos. Pienso que fue 10 pesos que me dijo. 10 pesos, which is, a sixth of a dollar. For shelling a can of beans. I said I would help. I mean, I sit there and I try and help, but I'm like, it would take me all day just to make a dollar. Like, I can't shell the beans that fast. So I sit and talk to them instead. We made Christmas cookies, and that's what we're delivering there Ruby and her friends and Amber, delivering to some of the kids that we have coming. We have 40 kids coming from La Maita at this point, two van loads a day coming in. And this, we also go out to do some church services like they had mentioned. And this coming year, we'd like to build a perimeter wall around our property. The trash and the animals and everything wander into our land, and it's just been really frustrating to try and do activities there. We took volleyball out. We wanted to play volleyball, and the thorns and thistles just popped their volleyballs. And then we tried playing kickball, and there's rocks and trash, and we'd clean it up, and the next time we go out, it'd be the same. So got really frustrating, and we're hoping to be able to build a perimeter wall to be able to then fix up the area better and do more ministry there. We still have our agricultural project. Mainly, well, I don't know, half grasses to feed our sheep, but also plantains and other crops that we bring in for the school to be able to do breakfast. But the grass we chop up and put in the barrels to serve to as silage for the sheep. How many sheep do we have? ¿Cuántos tenemos? He always says 90. He always says 90. I don't know. But for those of you who haven't been there for a while, he's been working on, I mean, it actually looks more like a barn now, and been watching a lot of YouTube videos from Brazil and all kinds of other places to find out how to best do the feeding process with the sheep. And we think we have pretty good quality sheep. The problem has been finding people to recognize that when we sell it. So we are in the process of trying to figure out a better way to make this project more profitable. David does an awful lot of work, and then we sell the sheep for pretty cheap. And so we're hoping to be able to figure out a better way to make that more efficient and more profitable. And yes, we bring in the different products for breakfast, especially we serve a hot breakfast for everyone, and then lunch is for the high schoolers. So that also has the connection with our school. This year was the first year we had two separate locations. So this, which we've seen pictures of in the past, is now the preschool and the elementary school. And they have their classes, typically 15 to 20 students is what we're accepting in those. And we have special days. This was a Bible, dress up as a Bible character. Most of them are Mary or an angel. but anyway, that was one of those days. And then the days where we represent different countries, learning about the other countries around the world. And those are our elementary teachers. This year, especially, the director and the subdirector really stepped up because we had the two sites, and we have one director, one subdirector, and me. And I don't know that we had, I think we knew it maybe in the back of our minds, but it was a lot more work having the two sites, being able to keep up with the teachers and the kids and the materials that are needed at both places. And they really, really stepped up. I was so thankful for them and the hard work that they did. So there's our new school, and we're very proud of it. It's interesting because we've been praying for this. It's what we wanted. The government, when Ruby went into first grade, they had said that we couldn't do that. We had been a preschool for 10 years, and when I went to put her into first grade, they said, no, you're not qualified to do that. And I said, well, she's going to do it anyway. And we did, and I remember praying, never forget it, Ruby, you'll have to hear it a million times, but never forget praying, if we could just get to third grade, if she could just make it to third grade, maybe after that, then I could send her to the public school, or I don't know, we'll figure out something different. And she's going to be going into 11th grade this year at our school. And so just to see how God has provided. Maybe when I prayed for that, I didn't realize all the work that that meant that needed to happen. When I think about that every single year, that meant adding a grade, and we had to find another teacher, and we had to find a classroom for them, and all that. But it works. We just keep doing it, and the government has actually given us permission up to 11th grade. And I had someone just recently ask me, oh, so you're not going to do 12th grade? And it's like, yeah, we're doing 12th grade. We have not come this far to stop, then we're going to do it. I don't know when we'll get the approval for it, but we're going to do it anyway. So this year's Ruby's the highest class, so that's 11th grade. So we have a whole year, plenty of time. We enjoyed our new space, new uniforms. These are their sports uniforms. We had the same amount of guys as girls. And then we did devotions with the high schoolers every morning. As Roseanne had mentioned, a lot of our teachers are not Christian. They're not following Christ. Probably only 10% of our teachers are churchgoers, Christ followers. So it was important to bring all of the kids together and the teachers and do like a chapel time with them every morning. And we had, now that they're high schoolers, we also had some of them who are following Christ, some of our students, also be a part of planning a devotional time or a drama or reading a scripture and interpreting it. And that was really neat for me to be able to see that growth as well. Proud of our La Mayita kids. Those are two of our high schoolers that were fighters when they first showed up at our school. David had to grab a hold of Kathy, the girl. She would just fight and claw and punch and everything when she was little. And so to see her now working together with the other students is amazing to me. You still don't want to get her riled up too much, but most days, I think we only had one day this year that we had to send her home, but it's just amazing to see that. And she also is part of the grade, they're going into 10th grade. None of the La Mayita, when we started with La Mayita, I knew that I only had a few years before, especially with the girls, they would, most of the 14, 15-year-old girls get pregnant and then are done with school. And so I knew that when we started, but a dream of mine is to be able to see one of our La Mayita kids graduate. Can't make it through this service either. And we're getting close. She's in 10th grade. We lost the ones that were in Ruby's, but that's the next grade down, so we'll see. That's them all working together in probably on my homework. It's probably geometry and algebra there, I'm pretty sure. That's what they all work together on. I don't know. Just keep... I'll be good. And that's the other thing. They're now doing algebra and geometry. For so many years, I taught just basic math and was getting tired of just teaching basic math. But I have been able to train two other teachers to take over that. And I'm actually training one of the teachers. Well, some of you know him. Juan Samuel was here last year, teaching him algebra and geometry so that he can take over the classes. Because, as I said, each year we add a class. I don't have anybody. They come out of the university with their teaching certificate in high school math. And, yeah, we need to train them. So trying to train them and teach the students as well gets to be a little much. So I'm excited that we have two other teachers that I've passed the math on to and feel good about their teaching style and how the kids are continuing to learn. We enjoy our space. Paul puts it on everything, we have the only grass field in Los Toros, and we love it. The kids love it. The first day, I think they all went and rolled around in it. It was like they were just all over the place. And so we do a lot of activities out there, and I'm reading stories to them on the other side too. We put together a 2,000-piece puzzle, and I only put together maybe like 20 pieces or something, so I'm very proud of them. It was not just those three girls, but they're the ones who probably put in the most pieces. But that, to me, represents, again, looking back and seeing how far we've come, because I remember when I was like, I need some puzzles, and people were like, oh, do you want some 500-piece puzzles? I'm like, no, like 25, 50-piece puzzles. That's what we started out with. And to see them stick with it, the attention span, being able to continue to work at it and not give up, not just be like, meh, I'm not gonna. And even some of the boys helped with it too, so that was really neat. We had received a donation for computers, so we were able to do a computer class as well, which is important for them. And this picture represents all the help that my high school students did to start school this past year. There was at least 8 of them, if not more, that helped paint. That's the preschool, so Ruby and her friends there are painting the little ABC train, and then they also helped to cover all of our books, our curriculum books. And we had some work days during the school year that the high schoolers helped. There's still lots of stuff to do there at the new site, and so we had the guys and the girls both working with that. I have Ruby on the four-wheeler because she is 16 now, so she drove back and forth between our school and the elementary school and taught English at the elementary school. And Janaudi, who is with her, we are thinking about this coming year, having them both teach, like a student teaching in the elementary school, because Janaudi would love to do that. And so we're going to see if we can find a way for those two to continue to help with that. And the boys, of course, you know, motors, they loved the new equipment that Work Team Partners has gotten and being able to keep our grass the right height. So most of you know how you can help with sponsoring a child. We bring in a few new ones every year, some from La Maita. Also, sponsoring a teacher, that is the 6,000 a year is what we're aiming for at this point. Most of the teachers are receiving less than that. It comes out to about $20 a day. And so to try and keep teachers is really difficult when the public school is obviously offering a lot more than that. So every year the public school has this test, the government does a test, and any of the teachers that would like to go to it. So every year at the end of the year, I lose quite a few of my teachers, and we don't know if they'll be back or not. We'd like not necessarily to give the same amount that the public school does, but to be able to raise their salaries some so that those who do choose to stay can support their families. And also with more students, it's great. We have at least 170 plus coming this year, but that also means more food and prices have gone up. So being able to pay for the breakfast every morning and the lunch has gotten more expensive, so we need help with that. We do several times a year, we do a night of joy where we have the students prepare a program. We now have had to split it, so 4 times a year. Our church is not big enough to hold everybody who wants to come to see our Nights of Joy. Most of the time, the men will stand outside and talk because they can't fit in. They'll let the women and the children come in. And so we would like to build, this is an example of what we'd like to build. It's an all-purpose building that would be used for sports activities, but also for our church to be able to do big activities and our school to present their program. That number up there looks really big to me, but so did 11th grade. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll work at what we can, depending on the money that comes in, we'll start in January working on what we can with that building and go from there. That is the plan. The building that's there is the blue and white building, our high school. And then the rest of that is all future dreams, I guess. The all-purpose building is the one that we'd like to build, but also we've started the dormitory. Another of my dreams from the beginning with La Maita would be to have the students be able to come and stay overnight. Some of the nights for extra academic help and also for more of a chance to love on them instead of sending them home to parents who are abusive or whatever other things they have to deal with. So those are the projects for this next year. And of course, we appreciate your prayers. Continue to pray for us. It can feel lonely sometimes, but I've been reminded multiple times of how we work together and how people are thinking of us and praying for us, and that helps. Our work team partners' phrase is, together we can make a difference. And if you read 1 John 3:18, which is what's on there, just challenge to show God's love through our actions.
So John Puckett's going to come and share us an update on the progress for Cambodia for their missions.
All right, everybody. For those who don't know me, my name is John Puckett. I think most everybody knows who I am. we're being sent by Eastern Mennonite Missions to Cambodia. My original plan, and I put the words "my" in there, was to have funds raised by June and be in Cambodia by June so that we could join classes as of July. We started fundraising in March, so I'm glad, actually. So as you can see, we're not there. So, and that's not to be at all negative. I think I was being way too, in a sense, ambitious. And God thankfully pulled the reins back and was like, wait a second, that's probably a terrible idea. And it would have been, actually, because I have 5 children, and my wife and I both have to do language study full-time, and we have a newborn baby, and there would have been a landing, trying to get over jet lag and going straight into class and not really having a clue who was going to take care of our children. So that would be... the stress and conflict that would have probably arose from that situation could have been very destructive. And so I'm actually grateful that God has kind of pulled the reins back on that. Current update on where we're going. We're over 87% raised. We've started visa processing. And to have the visas completed and ready so that we can leave at the very beginning of September. And we're really excited about what that does for us because it's going to give us time to get in, get settled. There's other developments also on getting people to help with our children during that time that we're doing language study. And so that's very exciting to see where God's leading that. And it's just great to see that actually, well, I just listened to these ladies talk. It really actually aligned with, and I might have sounded actually sad this morning when I talked, but it was actually because there was some emotion there, thinking about how, like, sometimes we have our plans and we have expectations, but really God sees us. Like, Jerry shared about Hagar, and I appreciate that. Not many people talk about Hagar in front of the church because she's not your typical Bible hero. But you have so much you can learn from her. She's got a lot of situations out of her control, and yet God saw her and met her needs, you know, and provided for her in a different way. And just knowing that God's provision, his foresight, his understanding is way beyond ours, and that we need to just make ourselves available to listen to where he wants us and walk with that, as the other ladies also shared. And you also heard it about Los Toros and the school, and sometimes things don't happen exactly how we have it planned out, but we can trust God in His provision. And so we're really excited about where we're at, where we're going, and just wanted to keep you all up to date, as so that maybe some of you were wondering, why are they still here? But yeah, thank you for praying with us. Thank you for supporting us. If any of you have already started giving, that is great. It is already going into our funds account, and that is making it possible for us to leave. So we really thank you already for that. And God bless you. We do want to, I just want one last thing. Running out of time here. So if you want to hang out with us, spend time with us, we do want to spend time with you. Just reach out and get in touch with us, and we'll make it happen, because we love you all. Thank you.
So when John said we're running out of time, he's not meaning to this morning. He's talking about for them being here, they'll be leaving. Some of you may be looking back. Don't worry, I think we'll get you out here before your pot roast cooks. I kid you not, I remember one time it got close to time and somebody leaned up and said, I want you to know my pot roast is in the oven before I got up to preach. I was like, oh, okay. I won't mention the name. I just want to take a moment here and just pause and just, here's the thing. Out of all this, I think what we need to do is pause and realize that God gets all the honor and glory. And that's the point, is like, too many times we think what we can do, we're not that important. What we're important is when we allow God to use us. And when we allow God to use us, then what can happen is beyond what we can even comprehend. And to allow His love to flow through us. And so when we talk about all these different things, and we're talking about the ministry of giving, it seems like if we look around, well, how much is it really needed? That's not the question. The question is, how much are you willing to allow God to use you in this? And so as we talk about these things, I would just say, if you're interested in going on that trip in January, you could talk to these four lovely ladies, and they can share what it's like. And is Paul still here? Oh, Kevin's the one. Kevin, can you stand up then? Yeah. Kevin's the one to talk to, because I do hear there's open spots still. Yep. And so they will be leaving January 1st this year, right? Yep. And so it's a great time. If you're interested in bidding on the online auctions, Rhonda is still here. So right back there, our secretary, just contact her and she can send you that information. If you'd like to see what some of these items look like, you can look in the New Birth Christian School storage room, which aka my office, and see some of these items that you may be bidding on. And then also remember, Friday is the meal. And so great opportunities to talk to John and Jeanette, and Ryan's going to be around to talk about the oil changing ministry. There's a lot going on, and we've got even more missionaries coming to share with us. It's exciting to be part of this and to see God's kingdom going. And we talked about the kingdom of darkness and kingdom of light. Brothers and sisters, do not believe everything you're hearing. God is not dead, as has been tried to be proclaimed. The truth is still going forth. Let's be part of it. Let's be part of it. All right, stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. Lord, I thank you for your great love that was displayed through the cross and the empty tomb. That we see and we proclaim the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that as we leave here today, we have so many opportunities to be part of. But Lord, right now also, as we leave here, we are on the mission field. I pray that as people see us, they see the light of your truth in our lives, on our face. Lord, too many times we can walk around so worried about things and so preoccupied, as been shared, that we've got to get things accomplished. Lord, may we just sit back, trust you. May people see that faith that we have in you. And Lord, that they would see it through our actions and our words. And so, Lord, I just pray that all the things that have been shared this morning, I pray a blessing upon David and Jewel and New Birth Christian School and everything, work team partners, as we walk with them Thank you for that opportunity. I pray a blessing upon the oil changing ministry, and I pray a blessing upon a John and Jeanette, as these are things that have been brought to our minds this morning. But Lord, there are so many other opportunities before us. I pray that we would take time and just pause and allow our spiritual eyes to be open to those that are broken around us, and to be real with you, real with each other, and real with them. I ask this all in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for your time and attention. Go in love, peace of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.